You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to issues, etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love issues, etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
We still have a very, very high embryo loss in creation of life in the laboratory. So I think it's very disingenuous to say that it was a pro-life approach to making babies.
And this is just madness to say. And each one of us, all 7 billion, all have these magical divine destinies from forever where we're all going to change the world. You know, that's what's destroying the world.
Another way to think about what I've called cliche theology is your rhetoric running your theology, or is the theology running the rhetoric?
Moms in labor, love, issues, etc.
Was 2017 a good year or a bad year for religious liberty? I can think of some good things. I can think of some really disturbing things. What will 2018 be like, especially with respect to, say, the display of religious symbols or student groups, in particular religious groups, being allowed to determine who can be a member of that group or not based upon their beliefs, or religious minorities, which in the United States is not Christianity, but there are a lot of religious minorities in the U.S. We're going to be answering some of those questions with Joe Davis, counsel for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, here in the first few minutes of Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome. We're coming to you live on this Friday afternoon, January the 12th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our conversation with Joe Davis on religious liberty in 2018, we'll begin a five-part series on ethical thinking as Christ himself. Today, ethical thinking as normative thinking. Dr. Gregory Scholes, professor of philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin, will be our guest. Pastor Chris Roseborough will join us for our weekly feature this week in Pop American Christianity Today, the contradictory 2018 prophecies. One guy predicts one thing, and one guy predicts a different thing, a contradictory thing. And both of them claim to be hearing from the same God. How do evangelicals sort that out? Chris will help us understand. Then we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We've got four soundbites for you to consider. And you can vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. You can wait until the last half hour of the program when we play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week and give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Joining us to talk about religious liberty in 2018, Joe Davis, counsel for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, based in Washington, D.C. Joe, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Looking back into 2017, was it a good year or a bad year for religious liberty?
It was a year with some really good developments. I think one major thing you saw is the Little Sisters of the Poor, who, as you probably know, were wrapped up in litigation for years over the contraceptive mandate, which was a rule that tried to require religious ministries to provide things like week after pill and you know other sorts of things that they objected to as part of their insurance plans. And the Little Sisters fought this for years in court. They finally got some relief in the past year. In May, the president issued an executive order that effectively directed the agencies that had administered this rule and told them, you know, basically to protect religious ministries like Little Sisters of the Poor. So that was a great development. That rule came out. It did protect the Little Sisters, but, you know, unfortunately now here in 2018, the Little Sisters are back in court because we've had some attorney generals in California and Pennsylvania that have challenged the new rule, saying that, you know, in fact, you actually have to force ministries like Little Sisters to provide contraceptives. So that's 2018. We were talking about 2017. So that was a great development. Another great development in 2017 was Beckett. We actually won a great victory that reaffirmed the rights of religious schools to hire and fire their principals, which is an important right to, you know, without government interference, which is an important right to allow them to direct their own religious beliefs.
A major case that was heard before the Supreme Court at the end of last year was, of course, Masterpiece Cake Shop versus Colorado Civil Rights Commission. What is at stake in that case, and when do you think we can expect a decision from the court?
Well, it's no doubt an important case. It has to do with, you know, what I'm sure everybody knows the facts of that case, but it has to do with whether religious people that supply things that are used for weddings, whether they, you know, can be forced to do the same thing for same-sex weddings, or whether their religious beliefs will be allowed to let them opt out. I think it is sort of it's a big question about whether religious exemptions that we recognize in a lot of contexts, whether sexual issues will trump those. I mean, that's kind of the way that case is shaken out. As far as when we can expect an opinion on it, I'm not sure. You know, I'm optimistic based on argument that the court is thinking in a way that's going to protect religious liberty. But, you know, likely the end of the term, if I had to venture a guess.
One more question on that is, if the court, and I agree, I think they're probably leaning in that direction, but if they surprise us and they do not judge in favor of Masterpiece Cake Shop, what will the implications of that be?
It's hard to say. It's hard to say. You know, there's different ways they could write the opinion. I don't think there's anything they could do in this case that would be the end of religious exemptions or the end of the fight by any stretch.
Looking forward to 2018, you say that religious symbols, we should pay attention to that issue when it comes to religious liberty. How is that?
Well, religious symbols have been a hotly debated topic for a long time, right? So these are these cases in which there's a religious symbol of some sort on government property, and the question is whether that's allowed. And so I think it's, the Supreme Court is primed to take up one of these cases in the near future. I think a really good candidate for that is actually a case that Beckett has, where the city of Pensacola, Florida, there's a cross in a public park. It's been there since World War II, you know, more than 75 years. Over those decades, it's become a part of the fabric of the community. All kinds of events have been held there, and it's become this very important symbol of unity and a very positive symbol in the city. Last year, the American Humanist Association sued and said they were offended by the cross and that it had to be torn down. In that case, right now, it's before an appeals court. So I think the Supreme Court is primed to take up a case like that in the coming year.
Is it going to be confused by kind of the general move in the last year or so of other activist groups going after public symbols, some of them not religious at all, some of them arguably maybe don't belong in the public square, but there have been an awful lot of monuments under attack. Is that going to confuse the issue there as well?
Well, I think those are different issues, you know, not just the actual content of those symbols, but the fact that those have been, you know, most of that action has been in the political front. People have been saying that, you know, the city should decide to take it down because it doesn't represent them anymore, that kind of thing. So, you know, these are legal questions, and they have to do with whether we have to censor our public square as a matter of law, you know, as a matter of the Constitution, of these religious symbols that we've, you know, inherited, that have been here for a very long time. So I do think those are different questions. It's a good question.
What about student groups? Where should we pay attention in 2018 to the issue of religious liberty and student groups?
Well, you may have noticed that campuses are not exactly the bastions of tolerance and pluralism that we like to think that they should be. And one manifestation of that is that religious student groups on college campuses are being targeted by university officials just for requiring their leadership to, you know, share the same religious beliefs that they do. So one example of that is a group called the Business Leaders in Christ. They were recently booted off of the University of Iowa's campus for requiring their leaders to embrace their faith. School officials told them they had to revise their beliefs, submit an acceptable plan for selecting their new leaders, just, you know, egregious stuff. Beckett, alongside Business Leaders in Christ, have sued the university to try to get Business Leaders in Christ back on campus and keep their requirements the way they've been for decades. So I think you'll see more cases like that in the coming year as well.
What do you think is behind that, where not only student groups are under attack, but the administration there is doesn't seem very sensical to have a group where you that would be united around certain ideas, and you wouldn't require or at least encourage your members to hold to those ideas. It kind of is the definition of a group. What's behind that from the university administration standpoint?
You know, it's a good question because, I mean, you're right. By definition, groups have to be able to define themselves in some way or another if they're going to be coherent and stand for anything in particular. So, I mean, it's hard to see anything other than just disagreement with the things that these groups are organizing themselves around. You know, other groups that the authorities agree with are allowed to do it, but Business Leaders in Christ isn't. So that's a good question.
Are we in any way seeing Christian groups being singled out as opposed to, say, I'm thinking about business leaders who are Jewish being singled out? That's hard to imagine university administration going after a group like that.
Yeah, we haven't seen any examples of that I can think of off the top of my head, whether that has to do with just the university context or otherwise. I think one interesting question that raises is that, you know, I think there is this broader narrative that religious liberty in general is just about majority religions like Christianity, or that it just has to do with sort of sexual issues. And actually, in the big picture, that's not true at all. One interesting study that we've actually been working on, some of our lawyers at Beckett have done, shows sort of empirically, based on the numbers, that most religious liberty cases do involve religious minorities. So, you know, I take your point about college campuses, but it's an interesting sort of gives lie to that narrative that religious liberty is just kind of a Christian or majority religion only cause.
What should we be watching for when it comes to religious minorities themselves in 2018?
Well, I think that's going to be an issue in 2018 as well, just for the reasons that I just said. Beckett actually has a case going right now, which represent some Native American religious practitioners whose sacred site that they used to pray and do rituals was just outright destroyed in order to make way for a highway expansion. And this is near Mount Hood in Oregon. And so Beckett is fighting for justice alongside our clients there. And the question there is basically whether the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which is the same law that protected Hobby Lobby in the Supreme Court a few years ago and the same law that protected the Little Sisters of the Poor, whether that protects Native Americans equally.
Joe Davis is counsel for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty based in Washington, D.C. You can learn more about their vital work at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Joe, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
When we come back, we're going to begin a five-part series on ethical thinking as Christ himself. Today we'll talk about ethical thinking as normative thinking. Dr. Gregory Schultz, professor of philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin, will be our guest.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
When pastors talk about us, they call us ad crucem. When laity mention us, they speak of ad crucem. When non-Lutherans address us, they say ADC Rucam. But no matter how you say it, Ad Crucem is the place to go for greeting cards, artwork, jewelry, ornaments, housewares, church certificates, church banners, and all your gift buying needs. Visit adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through art and word. ADCRUCEM.com.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. Issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.